Well, we heard on ABC local radio news today that one of the Aboriginal pioneers behind the push for the clean-up of the Maralinga nuclear test site has died. Archie Barton died at Ceduna at the weekend, aged 72. Joining us today on the program is Alan Parkinson. Now, Alan is a mechanical and nuclear engineer. He's been working in that field for more than 40 years, both in the UK, Canada, USA and Australia. And he was involved in the Maralinga clean-up back in 1989 and knew Archie Barton. Alan, thank you very much for joining us today on Late Afternoons.
You're welcome.
What are your memories of when you worked with him?
Well, I worked with Archie during the first two phases of the clean-up. I always got the impression he was dedicated to looking after the Aboriginal cause on the cleanup. And he was one of the people who went to London with a bag of soil from Maralinga to present it to the British government and say, hey, how about cleaning up the mess that you've left? So I had great admiration for him.
Well, let's go back to what happened. It was 1956, wasn't it, in September, when the first atomic bomb exploded at Maralinga. What was the lead-up to that?
Well, there had already been some British bombs exploded at Montebello and at Emu. They started the tests at Maralinga, as you say, in 1956, and ended them in 1957. But after that, they did some what they called safety trials, which was like setting off a nuclear bomb without it being a nuclear explosion. And these trials, there were 15 of them, spread plutonium, uranium and americium, across hundreds of square kilometres of the Maralinga site.
What impact did it have on Aboriginal communities in that area?
Well, according to the records, Aborigines were actually removed from the area, whether or not they were successful in removing them all, before the test started. But what has happened is the Aboriginal land was taken over by the Commonwealth government and is still the responsibility of the Commonwealth government. And until the Aborigines agreed to take a return of their land, it will remain with the Commonwealth government. But they have been, in a way, dispossessed.
Over the years, I've heard people argue that, look, there were north winds blowing. How far afield did the poison from the Maralinga test sites, how far did that poison drift?
Hundreds of kilometres. There is...
Southward, so would it have contaminated...
No, it went in three directions, northeast, north and northwest.
Right. So is it possible that people living in outer communities were contaminated?
If they were, it would be very, very, very dilute contamination. Most of the contamination is within 100 square kilometres of the Maralinga site. There is some beyond that, of course, but that 100 square kilometres I'm talking about now is still contaminated above the clean-up criteria.
84% of the plutonium, you say, is still there, and yet the British said that they spent $108 million cleaning it up.
Well, the British didn't spend that. They contributed to that cost. It was the Australian government who spent that. But we should stop calling it a clean-up. It was only ever intended to be a partial clean-up. And as I say, there's over 100 square kilometres still contaminated above the clean-up criteria, and as you say... 84% of that plutonium, which contaminated the site, is still there on the surface.
So how dangerous is that plutonium, in your opinion?
Well, it depends what you do. If you go into the contaminated area and start kicking up the dust and then inhale it, yes, it could be hazardous. But if you don't do that, then there's no hazard. You could walk through a field of plutonium and you come to no harm, provided you don't kick up the dust.
What about when the wind comes?
Well, there's been lots of rain on that site over 50 years, and that tends to seal the surface so that you don't get any dust from that wetted surface.
And what about impact on any wildlife?
During the 1980s, the ANSTAR, the people at Lucas Heights, did tests to see how much plutonium would be taken up by such animals as rabbits, which are caught and eaten. There was very little, if any, taken up.
Right. But plutonium is a deadly substance, is it not? How little is healthy? How little is okay?
Well, the first thing is, it's not a hazard as long as it doesn't get into your body. It gets into your lungs, yes, a milligram, that's 1/20,000th of a cubic centimetre is enough to kill you.
Right, 1/20,000th of a cubic centimetre.
Yeah, plutonium is about 20 grams per cubic centimetre. You need 1 milligram, could be lethal if it lodged in the lung. But it's got to get there first.
In your opinion, how healthy are the Maralinga lands now?
Well, the government makes this claim that 90% of the Maralinga lands, and they're 3,200 square kilometres, 90% is now available for unrestricted access. Well, that's nonsense. 90% was available for unrestricted access before the cleanup started. We cleaned up the central area and put fence posts around the remainder saying, don't camp here, but you can go through this area. Now, provided that advice is followed, I don't see any real hazard. But as I say, most of that plutonium is still there, and it depends what you do if you go into that area.
Alan Parkinson, thank you very much for joining us today on the program and sharing your memories of Archie Barton, as I said, who died in Ceduna at the weekend, 72 years of age. He was administrator of the Maralinga Land Rights Council for about 20 years and led the fight for compensation over contamination from the 1950s British nuclear tests. Alan, thanks again.
Can I just add that I'm very sorry to hear of Archie's death. I had a lot of admiration for him and the work that he did on behalf of the Aborigines.